Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 11, all stanzas. O Jehovah, hear my words. To my thoughts attentive be. Hear my cry, my King, my God. I will make my prayer to thee. All stanzas of Psalter number 11.
Thank you.
Scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the 6th chapter of the prophecy of Daniel. Daniel chapter 6. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these 3 presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, "We shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God." Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king, and said thus unto him, King Darius, "Live forever, all the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, and the counselors and the captains, have consulted together to establish a royal statute, and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree, and sign the writing that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not." Wherefore King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed, and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. "Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions?" The king answered and said, "The thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not." Then answered they and said before the king, "That Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition 3 times a day." Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself, and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men assembled unto the king, and said unto the king, "Know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king establisheth may be changed." Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, Thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me, forasmuch as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Then was the king exceeding glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. And the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives. And the lions had the mastery of them, and brake all their bones in pieces, or ever they came at the bottom of the den. Then King Darius wrote unto all people, nations and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree, and that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God, and steadfast forever, and his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius, and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. So far the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of heaven and of earth, once again, when we have been spared by thee to begin this day and to begin this new year together, then we may acknowledge thee for thy sparing hand over us and over our dear children, that thou art so long-suffering to usward. Lord, may it break our hearts now in this morning hour, that we, despite all that we are, within and without, that we are still given by thee everything that is necessary in this life, our health and our strength, and all that we need to continue in our life, but also and especially that we are given to come up unto thy house of prayer in this morning hour, that we may, even if it may be, even in an outward way alone, and that we may acknowledge that thou art the giver of our life, and that thou art the preserver of our life. Lord, how many in this, our great country, and also in the world in which we live, are never taught of that true and that living God, and that do not know anything of him who in whom they live and they move and they have their being. Thus it is a great privilege that we may be taught and instructed out of thy holy word. But give us to feel something of it also in this morning hour. But that also thy great goodness may make a deep and true impression upon our hearts by thy Holy Spirit. Oh, that it may lead us to a true repentance, and that we may be brought in the dust before thee under all thy great mercies, and that it may lead us to smite upon our breast and to supplicate unto thee, that thou would also have mercy upon our poor, never dying soul. Lord, do look upon us in the year to come. Thou dost set it before us. All things are hidden from us, that is future, but thou knowest all that must take place. Lord, may thou also go before us and our dear children in the ways of this life to provide what is necessary for our bodies and to give that which we need in this life to continue, but especially that thou may have dealings with us. Do not forsake us utterly, that thy hand would not be known in the midst of us. But, Lord, and that it may not be to our destruction, but that thou might work through it for the good and the welfare of our poor, never dying souls. For if we are left to go in the way of our sin, then we shall end in that eternal perdition, without God not only in this world, but without God to that never-ending eternity. Lord, thou who hast all the power in heaven and in earth, we beseech thee also for thy blessing and for thy favor, that it may be bestowed upon us in a special way in thy house, in the year that is now set before us. Lord, may thou come to dwell in the midst of us as a congregation, and as families, each one of us in our own places. May thou visit us as fathers and as mothers. Oh, that we may receive thy Spirit in our hearts, and that which is necessary to be faithful in the bringing up of our dear children entrusted to us by thee. Oh, they are not our children, but they are children that are thine, and they are given unto us out of thy hand. Lord, give us then also wisdom and faithfulness to command our children after us, that it may not be that we lead them only in the things of this life, but that as fathers and as mothers, that we may give to them thy holy word, that it also may be upon our lips, and that our children may have a place in our hearts when we are upon our knees before thee, to supplicate unto thee. Remember, therefore, our children at school, the teachers and principals and all that labor in the year that lies before us, O Lord, that it may not be that it would testify forever against us, but that it may be blessed and sanctified. Wilt thou look upon us as a nation also, and that thou hast spared
and that thou continuest to give so much prosperity. Lord, wilt thou also bring us again? Oh, turn us from the sinful ways. May it be a year in which we may see that thy hand has turned the nation about, and that we are brought upon our knees before that great and that living God, and that we are given a true turning from our sin, and that we may draw nigh to ask of thee a true blessing. Lord, strengthen thereto our rulers and our lawmakers and the judges of our land. Oh, be on their right and on their left hand. But lead them by that secret power of thy Holy Spirit, wherein thou hast all the hearts, even of kings, in thy hand. Wilt thou establish thy church in this nation? Wilt thou give that it may increase, that thy name may be glorified in time and in eternity? And may it be all over the world, also upon the mission fields. And wilt thou supply for them? And Lord, could it please thee, in this year that is now set before us, also to give us, each one in a personal way, a cry to thee, and that thou wouldst send more servants into thy vineyard. Lord, may thou give men who are truly wrought upon by thy Spirit, and that are not able to resist the calling of thee, to go forth and to bring thy holy word unto those that know it not in distant places, but also may it be within the established churches. Lord, do remember our sister congregation in this area who has also sent a call to one of thy servants. Lord, could it please thee to send him over to help us? For we have not that strength that is necessary to do all of those labors. Lord, may it be that thou thyself would give a man of thy choosing, that he also may be used for the upbuilding of thy church in this sister congregation. And Lord, wilt thou build thy church also among us? Oh, it is a new year, Lord, that is for us, but there is nothing that is new for thee. But oh, may it be that thou may give also new hearts in the midst of the congregation in this year to come. Oh, that there may be in this year, and those who are instructed by thy Holy Spirit, and those of young and old that might learn to bow their knees before thee, and that may confess to thee all their guilt and transgression, and that may seek out thine only begotten Son. Oh, that he may be made to them so precious and necessary, that thy children also may be taught and instructed further in that way of free and sovereign grace. And Lord, that thy Spirit may evidently, may manifestly be shown to be working amongst us and our children, and that thou would not leave us to our own devices. Wilt thou be with all that are afflicted? Wilt thou strengthen those that are sick also, that young child that is in the hospital far away? Lord, wilt thou strengthen him, heal him in his body, and go with him now in this year when there must also be more operations that he must undergo. Oh, that thou would supply for him, blessed to the strengthening and the healing of his body. Wilt thou give strength also unto the parents? Give them humble hearts under all thy many blessings, that it may lead to a true repentance. Lord, remember also the other children, because there are several children in our midst, and that have needs that are known unto thee. above other children for this life. Oh, that thou would look upon each and every one of them. And wilt thou give what is necessary for their bodies. Instruct in our souls. Lord, go then with us. Also as a consistory, may thou supply the wisdom and the strength and the diligence to do our labors in this congregation. And when we must also preach in other congregations, Lord, may thou bless the labors of all of thy truly sent servants. And may thou go with us again in this morning hour. Lord, do help us to bring thy word. Oh, do make it for us in this day an easy and a loving task. Oh, may it be a little token that thou goest before us yet in this time to come, and that thy spirit may sanctify it to the heart of this one or of that one, and that in this morning hour a holy jealousy may be born in the heart of the congregation for that blessed portion, and that we might learn to love thee, and that we may be drawn to seek after thee. We ask it in the forgiveness of all that is sinful, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 163, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. O Lord, my God, most earnestly, my heart would seek thy face within thy holy house once more to see thy glorious grace. Apart from thee I long and thirst, and naught can satisfy. I wander in a desert land where all the streams are dry. Psalter 163, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Beloved congregation, we stand at the beginning now of a new year. And on behalf of the consistory, and then we wish each and every one of you the Lord's richest blessings in this year that is now set before us, young and old. As the end of the year brings to us many thoughts, and then also the beginning of the year does bring to us many thoughts. The future, of course, that is to each of us hidden, and that we do not know what a day may bring forth in this world, and then we certainly do not know what a year will bring forth in this world. And will it be a year of prosperity? And will it be a year of affliction? We read in the Word of God that the Lord has set the one over against the other to the end that man should find nothing after him. And will it be a year in which things are taking place in our own land, that there is famine, that there is hunger, that there are disasters, that there is warfare? Will it be a year now that we have begun, that we shall never finish? Will it be a year at the end of which our name shall be read as one of those who has passed away out of this life? Moses, when he went with the children of Israel through that desert land, he also did not know what was his future. But there was one thing. Do you know what that was, boys and girls? There was one thing that Moses needed. And what was that? Moses said, "Lord, if thy presence go not up with us, carry us not up hence." And congregation, this is our wish for each and every one of us in this year to come, that the presence of the Lord, that may be experienced in your family life, that the presence of the Lord may be experienced in our church life, that the presence of the Lord may be experienced in our personal life. Then the Lord will be glorified. We wish, with the help of the Lord, to consider with you the portion of the Word of God which we have read together, out of Daniel 6, and thereof that one portion of the 26th verse, Daniel 6 and verse 26, and that portion which reads, "He is the living God." So far the words of our text. He is the living God. A heathen king's testimony concerning the living God. First, what it meant to this king. Second, what it meant to Daniel. Third, what it means to us. A heathen king's testimony concerning the living God. First, what it meant to this king. Second, what it meant to Daniel. Third, what it means to us. Congregation, what a precious and what a blessed confession. He is the living God. Do we also know in our life what it is to make, what it is to have such a confession?
living and dwelling within our own heart. He is the living God. Boys and girls, how do you know if there is life? When you would have a newborn baby in your house, then you will know very well if there is life, if that child is alive. Because then you will see something and you will hear something. You're going to hear that baby cry. And when that baby gets a little older, then that baby is going to talk. You're going to see him begin to move. He is going to begin to do things. And you're going to be able to communicate soon with that child. Thus, it is very evident when there is life. By the things that you may see, by the things that you may hear. But what is now this confession of this heathen king? He is the living God. How do we know that God is alive? Because God we cannot see. God we cannot hear. No, God, He is a spirit. How do we know that God then is alive? Well, we may see many things of the works of God. We may only look about us in the creation, and we may see the wonder of this whole world. We may only look at ourselves as a body, and we may only look at all the wonder of communication and of social life and all the things that the Lord has created in this world. And then we may see, we may hear from all that is around us, from the works of God, from the providences of God, that God is alive, that He is the living God. But this is apparently not enough for man. No, because man is still speaking about evolution. And that man says that there is no God and that God has not brought everything to exist in this world. Thus, this is apparently not enough for that fallen creature, man. Why not? Because man is still in an active rebellion. That is to push away every thought of that living God. God is a spirit. God must be worshipped in spirit and in truth. He must be known by the Spirit. But what are we? We have lost spiritual life. We are in that sense dead in sins and in trespasses. And therefore, that God is the living God. Oh no, we do not believe in that living God. Thus, God must deal with man in his impossibilities. To our great shame, before that we will believe, before that we will confess that He is that living God. And yet, even if we may feel in a special way the power of that living God, unless the Lord will sanctify those dealings, then it shall not be to our profit, but to our condemnation. Who was that king, boys and girls, that had to experience in his life the power of the living God. Say, that was Pharaoh. He saw it over and over and over again. And then finally, the Lord came to touch his own son. And then Pharaoh is forced to let the children of Israel go. And yet, it is not to his profit, but it is to his destruction. Oh, there are times when the Lord is drawing that blessed confession out of the hearts of those that are heathen. Think of Naaman the Syrian, how that the Lord is working, and that he also may come to make a confession concerning that living God. Think of a Ruth when she is in her own country in Moab, how that she also is brought to make such a blessed confession. What about the centurion when he may say, speak the word only? Oh, what a blessed confession did come out of the mouth of that heathen man. And now we see Darius. Who is he? He is a heathen king. He is the king of the Medians. Then this heathen king, he did not know the Lord. And yet he made such a confession concerning him that he is the living God. How did that come about? Well, we are not going to tell you that history of Daniel and this king, because that is told to you, boys and girls, by your teachers and by your parents. That is something that we all already know. But we can read in this history how this king is struck by the life of this servant of the Lord. He is a God-fearing man. And the fact that he is a God-fearing man was evident in his life. Is that also evident in our life? Daniel knew where he was. He was in the midst of a heathen people. It was so necessary that his life would be a testimony of that God whom he did serve, that it would be a testimony of that living God. And it was so. It has made an impression in the life of this king, that a king. Then he had to say concerning this Daniel, and that he says, thy God, whom thou servest continually, then there is an impression that is made in him. We know the other princes, they are very jealous of this Daniel. He is in the favor of the king, and they are plotting against Daniel, that he might be destroyed. And as they are plotting, they bring this king into a great strait. What do we read? And then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself, and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored until the going down of the sun to deliver him. Oh, and yet we read that he is compelled to give Daniel over to be eaten by these wild beasts. But it is so remarkable how that he is speaking unto Daniel before that Daniel is going down into this den. Then all the efforts of this king to prevent this from happening, all his efforts, they have now come to an end. He has labored until the going down of the sun. He has looked for every place in that law that he could find something wherein he could overturn this sentence of this Daniel. But there was no way. Thus he comes into an impossibility from his own sight. And then there is only one way left for him. Oh, he has a certain respect for this Daniel because of his life, because he sees truth in this man. And then there is only one way left that he says, "Thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee." We would say, perhaps even the same as the Lord Jesus did say of that centurion, that "I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel." And yet, is that really so of this king? We cannot deny that this king was sorry for his own decree. And yet he is not sorry because of any godly piety. This man is sorry because of his own foolishness. Daniel, he could see and he had a certain sense of justice given unto him by that common grace of God, that Daniel was being persecuted by those that hated him, that were jealous of his position. Daniel was also very profitable to him, of course. Daniel was a very wise man and also gave him advice concerning his own kingdom. Yet we do not read anywhere that this king came to love this God of Daniel. That decree that he made in itself, that was evidence of his own great pride. And then we never read that this man is commanding his people that he shall put all the idols away from them and that they should only serve this God of Daniel. We never read that this man, that he himself ceases to serve all of the other idols. No, but he merely makes the God of Daniel to be stronger, to be the highest one of all of those gods and that he did serve. He is only affected by this miracle that takes place. Oh, then it is like Israel when they stood on Carmel, that for a moment they are crying out, "The Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God. He is the living God." That is the testimony here, congregation, of a heathen man who remained in his heathendom. Thus, so possible to utter these blessed, blessed words of truth. Even as Caiaphas prophesied concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, possible to make such an utterance and still go lost. Oh, how close then we would say can it come with a person? How well can it look for a person when we observe all things from the outside? And still, that a person be on the outside of it himself. Paul himself says of himself, lest, he says, we, having preached unto others, should ourselves be a castaway. Thus, if man is never broken down in himself, then he is remaining lifted up against God. He is the living God that came out of his mouth. But for himself it was no profit, of no value. But for himself, that confession will only one day testify against him. But how different we see in our second thought that it is with Daniel. And why so different? Because Daniel may truly believe. And Daniel may also experience in his life that this God is the living God. We know what the life of Daniel was. And that life of Daniel was seen by his friends. Is your life seen by your friends also, young people? His life was also seen by his enemies. That life was so upright. It was because of that life that he is coming under the persecution of his enemies. Is that also true of us? The Lord, he says of his people, that if they have persecuted him, that they also shall receive persecution in this world. And those enemies see that spotless life, as it were, of Daniel. They say there is absolutely nothing that we are able, that we are going to be able to do to be condemning him before the king, unless that it has to do with the law of his God. Thus Daniel is in exile. And yet Daniel has a great respect unto the law of his God. Why? Daniel knows. Daniel has experienced in his own life that he is the living God. Then he is not the same as the local gods, the so-called gods, the idols of the heathen. No, but that he is the everywhere present God. And that also far away in that strange land, that God also can hear him in this place. Do you believe that too, boys and girls? That the Lord can hear you wherever that you are in this world. This God-given faith that is not only in the days of his prosperity, but it is especially in the days of his adversity. Often it is so that God's children, and they are brought under trial of that faith. That is what we read here. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, his windows being opened in his bedchamber toward Jerusalem. He kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed, and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. What else, congregation, could uphold Daniel in this trial except that he may truly believe, except that he may truly know, except that he may truly feel that God is the living God, that he sees, that he knows everything. He is not ignorant of the politics of the Medes and of the Persians, nor that he has so many enemies. Daniel does not know what the future is. Daniel also doesn't know whether God will be pleased to deliver him. But one thing he feels, that God, he is the living God. Though righteousness that is not being done always by earthly kings, yet the righteousness of that heavenly king that is unchangeable, though justice that is not being carried out by the kings of this world, yet God, he knows, he feels, he believes he is the living God, that God of justice. Though he could be sure, he could not be sure in that the Lord would deliver him, yet he knew that God could deliver him, that he had the power to deliver him, and that if he so pleased to do so, that he was able to do it. No, Daniel is not able to go now anymore before this earthly king, and that he may sue for his own life, that he may plead before him for his life. That king is helpless. But Daniel is still able to go on his knees, and he is still able to attempt to approach unto the living God. There are those that say that Daniel exposes himself here to an unnecessary danger, praying with open windows toward Jerusalem, and that he would be in the sight of his enemies, that he would be in the sight of all the heathen, praying unto God at such a time. What would be our action? Or how that we can go in between? And how that we can make this or that excuse? We say, it is better that I preserve my life. It is better that I just do it quietly now. It is better that they do not see me, because God, he can still see me when I am in secret. And they do not need to know about it. Then I can still pray, and then I can still also be of service to the king. But what does Daniel do? He does exactly the same as he did before. That Daniel goes before that open window. That Daniel goes knowingly in the view of every one of his enemies who are trying to slaughter him. He goes upon his knees. Why does he do this? Daniel knows that his life in that place where he is at this moment is a testimony unto the heathen. Daniel's life in praying to that Most High, that true God, that God of Israel, that is an example set before every one of this heathen people. Oh, Daniel would show also this people that God, who is the living God, stronger than every one of their gods. Oh, for Daniel now to retreat, for Daniel now to seek a dark place, a secret place, so that no one could see him, that would only be a victory for all his enemies. For Daniel now to try to protect his own life, and that would be an admission and that he believed the enemy was stronger than that God whom he bowed his knees unto every day. No, knowing the dangers. And then Daniel lays his whole life before the Lord. Rather expose his life to danger than that name of that God of Israel before all these heathen to blasphemy and contempt. And not only does Daniel believe that the Lord is alive, but Daniel also may experience this in this way. What does he experience? We read it. The Lord sent his angel to shut the lion's mouth. What sure evidence does Daniel receive that the Lord, that his God, that he is the living God? Congregation, in that night when the enemy was rejoicing, to think that Daniel's bones, they are laying scattered upon the bottom of that den. Then in that very night, the angel of the living God, he is standing next to Daniel. There Daniel may experience that the Lord is the living God. Oh, it was Jacob when he was in such a great danger at Bethel. Then he may experience and then he may confess, surely the Lord is in this place. Oh, what did David experience? When he went forward against that Philistine who defied the name of the living God, then David may experience that that living God went before him. And what did Hezekiah experience when that enemy Rabshakeh was blaspheming that name of that living God? Then Hezekiah also may experience in his life that that God is alive. Oh, King Darius, yes, he may confess it with his mouth. He may see it with his eyes. But Daniel, the servant of the Lord, he may believe it in his heart and he may experience it in his life. And congregation, how is that now with us? But let us sing first Psalter 248, stanzas 1-4. The man who once has found abode within the secret place of God shall with Almighty God abide and in his shadow safely hide. 1-4 of Psalter 248.
congregation, even this heathen king of long ago was brought to confess that he is the living God. And yet he never experienced the benefit, the profit of this living God for himself. He had an impression of the deadness of all the idols, but he has never left those idols. The Lord Jesus said to the scribe, "Thou art not far from the kingdom of God." And yet he was not in it. Agrippa says, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian, but almost is not altogether." How is that now in our life? It is possible that we have experienced in our life that he is the living God. It is possible that we have been brought in our life into some great strait in this world, into some impossibility in our temporal life, that we say there is no one that is able to deliver me out of this but the living God. And it could be that the Lord indeed has given you to sing concerning him, that he is that living God. But did it ever bring us to leave our idols? Did it ever bring us to leave the service of this world? Did it ever draw our heart that we also might seek after this living God? Because what shall it be to have made such a testimony and to one day stand before that living God and to say that I have experienced that thou art alive, but my heart was never drawn out to serve and to love thee? Oh, how will we then experience that he is the living God? Because we read it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Vengeance, he says, is mine. I will repay. Oh, the first world, Sodom and Gomorrah, Pharaoh, they have known what it was to fall into the hands of the living God. But Daniel could not do without this God in his life. This living God in prosperity or in time of affliction. Is that also now our life? Is that now the way that we are going forward in that year that lies before us? And that our heart that is drawn, that we also might love, that we also might serve this living God, because he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the same today as he was in those days of Daniel. Is that always the same in the life of the children of the Lord? Oh, no, it is not. Sometimes there are moments when they can hardly believe that the Lord is alive. Oh, think only of John the Baptist when he is lying in the prison. And think only of Jeremiah when he has been thrown into the dungeon. Then it is understandable in their human nature that they are asking in their very heart, is he truly the
living God.
What does David say? My tears have been my food night and day, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? No, those times are not easy. But it is by this that those cries, they are going up unto heaven, that they are entering into the ears of that Lord of Sabaoth, that the Lord would show me a token for good. And that is now that people and that might experience in their life that He is the living God. Then it is not only for temporal things, no, but then it is also for the need of their soul. And how is that then experienced? It is experienced in the way of dying. It is when Daniel had to die that he may experience that God is alive. My God has sent His angel and has shut the lion's mouth. Some say that was that same angel that came into that furnace with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that is the Son of God Himself. We do not know that. But, oh, how that it makes our thoughts go out unto Him, because we have heard it now in the week that is gone by, how He has come down from heaven. That He may do what? That He may shut the lions' mouths that are roaring against His people. That He has closed the mouth of the law, that that curse can no more destroy them. And that He has closed that mouth of the devil, and that He has bruised his head, that He has taken away all his power. And that they are no longer under His dominion. Then there can be so many accusations still in the heart of that people, because of all their enemies. But they cannot touch them, because they are standing there, alive and well, amidst all those lions in the bottom of that pit. But the angel of the Lord, He is standing at their side. Oh, how did that Son of God accomplish it? It was through His death and through His resurrection. Oh, what a wonder when Mary, thinking that He was dead, did hear His voice. Mary. And when she may turn herself and that she may say, Rabboni. All the disciples, when she said that He was alive, they did not believe her. But He showed Himself alive after His passion by many infallible proofs. What did He say then to the Apostle John? He says, I am He that liveth and was dead, but I am alive forevermore. Amen. Or what does He say to His church? He says, because I live, ye shall live also. Do we know then that life? And especially that He is that living God? Has that been in our life to the prophet of our own soul, in the impossibility to ever reconcile ourselves again unto that living God? Oh, then we will know what it is to cry in our life and to receive an answer of a God that lives. And then we will know what the enemy of sin is. But we will also know what it is to be delivered by that living God. O Saul, he heard his voice, the voice of him who ever liveth, on that way to Damascus, and he experienced in his life that God is alive. O the people of the Lord, and they may see even that living God in every affliction, in every chastisement that comes in their life, that he is placing that fence about them, that he does not allow them to continue on in their own ways. Congregation, oh, will you not seek, will you not desire this living God? Oh, it is so necessary that we know that he was dead for us. But it is so necessary that we also may know that he lives for us, that he forever lives, that he may make intercession for us. Oh, may this become that one thing needful in the heart of every one of us in this year to come, that we might experience in this life that he is that living God, and that we may be given to say, even with that blessed apostle of the Lord, that he is my God. Amen. Lord of heaven and of earth, oh, to whom else can we go? Thou art the living God. Lord, therefore we may attempt to speak unto thee. O Lord, therefore we plead with thee. Oh, we may plead, Lord, with this people. But we are by nature dead in sins and in trespasses. O, may thou show thyself to be the living God in this day and in this year that lies before us, when we may gather together in thy house, that there may go up a cry that is in the heart of this people. O God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Lord, then we shall know, then we shall experience that thou art the living God. O, we beseech thee then to show it unto us in our lives, each and every one of us. It must all come from thee, Lord, because we are dead in sins and in trespasses. But thou ever liveth, wilt thou show then the truth of thy holy word. O, give us to glorify and to magnify thy holy name in this year to come, that it may be by beginnings for the first time or by renewal in the hearts of each and every one. Leave not one of us behind, young or old. Spare us also in this life from a sudden and from an unprepared death. Lord, wilt thou go before us now in the future, in this week to come. Be with us when we hope to travel in the day of tomorrow, and also many others in the congregation who will be traveling in the coming days. Protect each one of us from all danger and harm, and bring us safely to gather again home at thy appointed time. Give us blessed meditations upon thee and upon thy holy word. Keep us from all sin and forgive our many sins, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Our closing psalter is number 55, and afterwards again we ask the congregation if they would please remain seated. 55 is stanzas 1, 2, and 3. The Lord, my shepherd, holds me within his tender care, and with his flock he folds me. No one shall find me there. In pastures green he feeds me, and with plenty I am blessed. By quiet streams he leads me, and makes me safely rest. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter number 55.
and the beginning of a new year, then it's also proper, fitting, and also desire of the consistory, and I think on behalf of the congregation, that we may speak a few words also unto you. Also, if you sin, it's a new year. We do not know what the year will bring us. But last night, for a moment, I was reading in Acts chapter 20, and there we read that Paul, when he was on his journey back to Jerusalem, he called for the elders of Ephesus. And when they came, he spoke unto them and also to the whole congregation of what he has brought unto them. And we're not going to read that piece. We can do that when we're at home. But then in verse 27, then he said, I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. And now I don't think, Reverend and Hollander, if he would ask you if you could say the same words. But there's one thing we do believe. In what you may bring, the desire is there. It is your desire also to bring unto us as a congregation all the counsel of the Lord. We know we have to bring the full counsel, death in Adam, life in Christ, law and gospel. But now that all that counsel, it goes yet a little further. But we know and we feel it is also your desire that his name may be glorified and that also sinners may yet be converted unto God. That is now yet in that all that counsel. And I was thinking of a word, and I do not know what it is in English, but many times you may bring your message met bewogenheid. Many of us will understand what it is, but bewogenheid. I think with many emotion, feelings inside, that the Lord may bless it. May the Lord uphold you. May the Lord give you strength to go further from Sabbath day to Sabbath day and to bring that only word unto us. That we'll also be able to say, I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. And then also congregation, I was also thinking of that, if we think of that, that Reverend and Hollander may stand here before us, Sabbath day after Sabbath day, and whenever the house of the Lord may yet be opened. Then we read also in the Bible, in the Old Testament, the journey of the Israelites through the wilderness. And then they were only yet very shortly in the wilderness, and then they were attacked. And that was by the Amalekites. You know, in those Amalekites, they're still alive. And they're still being used by Satan. And how did the Amalekites attack the Israelites? From the rear, from the back. He attacked the youth, the young ones, the feeble ones. Who are those? Those are the young ones who maybe do not know yet the doctrine so well. The feeble ones who may have become older but do not know where they stand. Those are being attacked. And then we have Reverend the whole number who may yet bring unto us God's word. And then you maybe know already where I want to go. That is there a Moses with the rod of God's hand who may lift it up. That is also the prayer of Moses. But could Moses do it alone? No congregation. No Reverend Hollander. Moses could not do it alone. There was yet an Aaron and an Hur. Now it is my question and my prayer for us, especially as consistory, but also as congregation. May there be yet those be found also in the congregation that we may pray for our minister, that we may pray for our pastor, that he may yet also know what to bring every Sabbath day. Every Sabbath day is a new time. May we so prayerfully lay those things also in the beginning of this new year before the Lord. And who can tell what the Lord may not do, that we may put our hope and trust in him. Reverend, and also your wife is not here and your children. But may the Lord remember you together with your wife as a family. Also, when you hope to travel in the day of tomorrow to be with them, may also safely return home again. And that we may put our trust in the Lord. And with that, we may hope to sing also. And with that, we close. Instead of the doxology, we sing this one, standing. Psalter 439, the third stanza. Whom have I, Lord, but thee on high? None else on earth can satisfy. But thou, O God, mine soul's deep yearning, for thee mine troubled heart is burning. Though flesh should faint and heart should break, thou art my rock that naught can shake. In life, in death, thou art my stay. My strength, my portion, Lord, for a. The third one of 439.
Thank you, Elder Brun, for your words, and may the Lord indeed fulfill it and bless us together. Receive now the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.